Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Uplifted Communities Talk Show. We are running a little behind schedule. We're waiting on our guests, and we are waiting on Mr. John L. Brown. So, let's get started. Well, we're going to be talking today about mental health issues, and we have, I'm going to make sure everybody's on time. I look like I'm the only one on time today, so I'm going to try to get this going for us. But thank you for joining me. It's going to be a great show once we get it going, and I'm excited. So here we go. Let's see if she calls in. Let me see if I see her number here, and then I'm going to get her in. Hold on 1 second. I do not like dysfunction, so when I get when I feel dysfunctional, sometimes I just get a little sidetracked. But things happen because life happens, so we're gonna get this started. Hope everybody's having a wonderful Sunday, and thank you for joining us. We really do appreciate it, and it is a blessing to have this opportunity to talk about a subject that is really important in our community. Mental health. You know, mental health is really. Really important to our community. So we're going to let Nisha in. And we're going to talk about it because she is on the line. And we're going to get this going because this is a very important subject, and it's important for us to have this conversation. Hello, are you there? Hello?
I'm here. Hello?
Hello, darling. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Absolutely. Great. So thank you for joining us today. We're running a little behind schedule, but we're going to get this going. And before we get started on the show today, if you don't mind, please tell the audience a little bit of something about you, you know, about what you do and who you are and the whole nine yards. Let's give them an earful about you.
All right, wonderful. You can hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Awesome. Well, as you mentioned, I'm Nisha Elliott, and I've been in the mental health field for 20-plus years, either learning it or working in it. And currently I work for Riverside County Behavioral Health, but what I'm talking about today does not represent the ideas of the county. It represents myself and my history in mental health. I want to make sure I say that.
Absolutely.
Yes, because I'm all about making sure mental health gets out in the community and we have a conversation about it from the work perspective as well in my personal life. I've spoken at church about spirituality and mental health, making sure that we as Christians, because I am a Christian, know about mental health and that we do see it and read about it in the Bible. So it wasn't foreign to God, so it can't be foreign to us. And so I'm really excited to have this conversation about mental health. Additionally, I work with children, empowering them and helping them to step into their greatness. And when working with children, I have to also work with adults because we have to pour into our youth and, yes, and our next generation to teach them that it's important for them to know that they were on purpose. There's a plan for their lives. So I have a book called Intentionally Made, which really describes you knowing that you are important and that you were born here on with a purpose, and it takes you through a journey only about yourself, asking what are the things that stop me? What's my stinking thinking? What are the things that are barriers in my life that don't get me to where I want to be? So the book is really good, and it talks to the 13-year-old and the adult and the 13-year-old child. So it's good for everybody to pick up a copy and read it so that they can help get to their purpose.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're going to get back on mental illness, of course, but you're absolutely correct. I think that even adults are still trying to find their purpose.
Yes.
You know, we live a life where we allow people to dictate who we are instead of us really discovering who we are. You know, with the social media age, everybody can be whoever they want to be, you know, but the uniqueness and the originality of who we are a lot of times get hidden behind social media. So a lot of people are not really tuned in to who they really are.
Correct.
You know, so
correct.
Having a tool like that, you know, makes you face, you know, things that maybe you would not normally face. And it
yes.
also, you know, makes you look at yourself and go, who am I? What is my purpose? And really, why am I here? Not why my girlfriend's here or Miss Lisa,
right.
I see always getting a lot of hits on Facebook. That's her.
Yes.
Who am I?
Yes. Who am I?
How do
that's
I
right.
that purpose for me?
That's right. That's right. And everybody is unique and have their own characteristics to pour into this earth. And nobody, and it's not out of conceit because I'm always humble, but nobody can do what I do when I'm supposed to do it. Nobody can do it just like me.
Absolutely.
When we learn that about ourselves, right. When we learn that about ourselves, we realize that I have this place and nobody can take it away from me as long as I stand in it and command this space when I'm supposed to be in it. So I really talk about that, especially because I'm a mom of two. I have two young boys that's in the social media world, and I told them they are on purpose and they are fine just the way they are. You know, of course, we're supposed to grow and learn, but however you are at this time and space in this universe right now, it's okay for you to be that way. So I think that's so important. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you made a valid point. No one can do you. And I think a lot of times people want to copy other people thinking that their way is better than their purpose. And whenever
right.
you do that, you get off track. And you get off track
right.
because that's not your purpose. That's their purpose. And that's why it's
yes.
important to understand who you are and what you're doing and what your purpose is.
Absolutely, absolutely. I was teaching this one class, and this little girl, I said, everybody, what's your favorite saying that you learned from your family? Because, you know, some of us get sayings from our families. And she said, Miss Nisha, the thing that I learned the most, Miss Nisha, was to be yourself because everybody else is already taken. I was
Hello.
Like, that is so profound. I love
yes.
it. So
yes.
I think that's true.
I've posted that before. Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Because it's so
yes.
true. You're right.
It is.
But what
so
we want to talk about, we're going to get back on that because we'll go on that
yes.
forever because I like positive
yes,
stuff like
can.
That. But I really want to talk about mental illness. I know in
yes.
your field you get to see a lot of different families and individuals.
Yes.
And I just want to talk about how you see, you know, is it a lot of children? Is it a lot of just families? Because they say mental illness is usually hereditary. I'm not sure, but I think some of, them is, some of it is and some is not. You're the professional. I'm
mm-hmm.
not.
Correct.
That level.
Correct. Correct.
But,
some of it,
you know, how do you, you know, deal with so many different kinds, and what is the primary, I guess, ailments that you see in mental illness, especially in our community?
So it's interesting because I've worked in all spectrums of mental health from when I got out of college I was in working with the severely mentally ill, and then now I'm a supervisor of a program where I oversee services for children. And so over the course of my time working for the county and working in mental health, I've seen an array of mental illnesses. And so meaning I've seen schizophrenia, I've seen major depression, I've seen anxiety disorders interfere, substance abuse interfere with somebody's level of functioning. I've seen it all. And so what I see right now is what I want to bring to the forefront. I want to bring to the forefront that mental health can no longer be a conversation of taboo. It has to be a conversation of
yeah.
table talk. And so I sat on Facebook right before we started because I think it's very important that we stop avoiding and being afraid of the conversation of mental illness, because mental illness is just like any other illness. It is something that needs treatment, needs to be observed, needs you to pay attention to the signs and symptoms. So just like heart disease, diabetes, cancer, all the other diseases, mental health falls right into that category. It just has to deal with the mind. It's the illness of a mind, of the mind. So we have to look at, when it comes to my services working with children, we see depression, anxiety. We see a conduct disorder. We see diagnoses of that nature. ADHD, I see that a lot in my program. So the kids, they are basically diagnosed with most of those diagnoses. And so what I really want to get to the forefront is that early intervention and treatment is key. That's the key to success of a child leading up to an adult with mental illness. We know there's adult onset of mental illness as well, but making sure we are paying attention to the people around us. So the first step that I want to bring out there, and you can jump in anytime because I could talk all day about this.
Oh, no. I want you to teach. Go ahead.
Yes. Okay. So the first thing with bringing this conversation from taboo to table talk is us just simply having the conversation that people do get depressed. People are anxious. People do deal with trauma. It's true. It happens. And so once we start having that conversation, these things happen. People have to deal with substance abuse. This happens. Once we start saying that and saying, well, at the table, what do you think about it? Why do you think this happens? What can we do? We don't have to have a formal professional conversation. We don't have to be well-educated just to talk about what goes on around us, right? So the first thing is for us as families and individuals just to bring it to that table, just friends that are just normal conversations, not technical, saying, hey, this does happen. Okay, now that we've brought it to the table to have this conversation, the second thing we need to do is really pay attention. So we get so busy, as you said, like paying attention to social media, and oh my gosh, they have such a wonderful life. Well, they have such a wonderful life for that moment while they're taking a picture. There are so much other things going on in their lives that aren't going to come to social media, may not come to the forefront.
Right.
So we think that people don't have to deal with this, but we do have to deal with this. So paying attention is the next step. My friend hasn't posted on social media. I haven't seen her at church. My friend hasn't been to Starbucks with me. Oh, my son isn't coming out of his room. Just paying attention to those people who are doing something just a little bit different, maybe a little abnormal than their normal actions. So once we start seeing that and paying attention and loving each other, like, hey, girl, I'm calling you because I haven't seen you. What's going on? Simple things like that help to start the conversation about mental health and mental wellness. And it helps us to say, my friend may be going through something. Let me see if I can reach out to her. So our basic first step to mental health is us just having conversation and relationship with people, saying, girl, I'll go to the doctor with you, whatever the case may be, to have it and make it more normal for us to talk about. So watching that abnormal behavior. So I will share with you, my son, he broke his collarbone in a football game, and he was very, very sad. And he went to his room, and I let him stay in that room that day. That next day, I said, okay, we're coming downstairs. Because I know from the mental health perspective, he probably could have stayed in that room all week, all month. He could have just stayed up there. And that
depression creeps.
Yes, yes. And so if I allowed him to do that and not pay attention to him, he could have easily fallen into some more symptoms that may begin to be depression. And so we want to pay attention to that because a lot of our kids and even adults now, Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade, these kids are committing suicide because sometimes if somebody had paid attention a little earlier, saw a sign a little earlier, been a friend a little earlier, we could have prevented something. And I'm not blaming anybody for anybody's actions.
Oh, no, but
I'm just saying,
yeah, but awareness isn't real. We have to be aware. We have
Absolutely.
To pay attention. You know, and you made a valid point because depression creeps. Because I'd never been depressed before, and I started caregiving, and so my life changed a little bit. So I was like, what's wrong with me? I don't feel good. And so one of my friends that's a life coach, she said, girl, you're depressed. I said, honey, I don't get depressed. I am positive Jackie, you know. She said, oh, positive Jackie, you just got hit by the wand. So it was really funny because I really never thought because I tried to live a positive life. I really have a sincere effort of living positive and doing positive things. I never thought that depression comes in like that. I was always thought if you got depressed, it's because something tragically happened in your life.
Correct.
I never knew that it, like you said, it comes from being sad or something upsetting your balance. And I didn't know it came in like that.
Absolutely. Right. It comes in and it comes, like you said, it'll sneak up on you and you don't even realize that you're depressed. And so one of the things that we have to do is to say, okay, you're dealing with depression. Let's address it. That's why I said we have to make this conversation more table talk, because the more we don't talk about it, the more we're losing people to depression, losing families. Family structures are being destroyed because of illnesses that we just don't want to talk about. So, yes, I'm glad your friend said, look, honey, what's going on? Yes, she checked you real quick in a polite way. Let's get it together.
Yeah, she did. She checked.
Yes.
I had no attitude. I said, you misdiagnosed. And she said, okay, let's ask some questions. And she was honest. Like, she put the questions out there. I was like, oh, I guess I am. But it was kind of shocking because the first thing you think, oh, depressed means something wrong with you. You messed up. You know, you start thinking of all the negative, you know, tones that everybody gives towards depression. And she said, no, depression is life. People actually function in a state of depression, and that really shocked me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there are a lot of people who function in depression. There's a lot of people, you hear about it all the time, functioning alcoholics. They function, but as soon as they get home, they may go to the bottle. Same thing with someone who's depressed. It's just routine. They can continue to do their routine, but they're still depressed. And some things you begin to notice. For instance, I heard a young lady speak, and she said she used to be on point. She her outfits were on fleek. She was fire.
Right. On fleek.
So,
on
fleek. She was fleek. As a kid said. So, but then she started decompensating. She started not being on time, not dressing like she how she used to. But she was still going to work. She was still doing, but she wasn't functioning at her highest level. So some people just function in routine. They could do that, but they're not able to do the extra stuff. They're not able to go to family functions or eat like they're supposed to or sleep like they're supposed to. So other things are going on awry. And I like what you said. You said your friend was honest with you. So I know that we struggle with being honest with other people because you feel like, oh, they're going to think I'm tripping or I'm judging or whatever. But when it comes to mental illness, we have to address it with the people we love. We have to go up to them and say, hey, honey, you're doing something different. We have to be confident enough in our relationships that we can be honest with people. And I think that's something we lack in our community is that we're not as honest as we should be with people.
Absolutely.
And you can do it with kindness. We don't have to be nasty, like, girl, what's wrong with your gear? What you wearing today? We don't have to do it that way. We can do it in love. And when we come from a loving perspective, we're helping people to heal, and we're helping people to reach out and get services and the things that they need. We're here to help each other. So, honesty, I like that. I like what you said. So, first,
because it's important.
It's important.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This is table talk. We talking. This is the chocolate round table.
I love it.
Talking about it. You know, and what's really important, too, is that I think a lot of times individuals, when it comes to mental illness, there's a shame. And that, like I said, I was like, start thinking of all the negative things that is associated with being depressed. And so it was interesting because I just never, and then all of us, too, Nisha, never think that it can happen to us. And that's another reality check that we got to have, too. You know, you're talking about putting on the table. We all can be affected by that.
Yes, we can, absolutely. And I think that's another thing that's important as well. We have to bring it to the forefront. Like, for instance, I talked to a church. Ministers need to talk about some of the things that they go to so their congregation can feel more comfortable talking about it. Professionals, a lot of professionals are stepping out right now, and you'll see the lime green ribbon with some professionals who are supporting mental health, speaking out about their mental illness. Meta World Peace came out. The basketball player came out, and he talked about his mental illness. There's football players that are now coming out talking about their mental. It's important for those people in the limelight and those people in leadership to talk about mental illness, especially how it impacts their lives, because then other people that who look up to them and follow them will begin to say, hey, you know, I'm struggling with the same stuff. Maybe I need help too. So that's another reason why it has to be a part of the conversation at the table. And you mentioned the negative part that comes with it. So we talk about stigma. So there's a movement called Each Mind Matters, meaning that all of us, we all matter. Each of our minds matter, no matter what we're going through, depression, anxiety, life issues happening to us that may lead to mental health issues. Each of us matter. So we have to remove that negative connotation, because when someone says they have heart disease, we don't run from them. We're like, oh my goodness, have you gone to the doctor? Are you on medicine? We're really engaged in that conversation. Cancer, oh my goodness, let's fight cancer. Cancer sucks. I'll walk with you. Let's do a walk. Diabetes, yeah. Anything of those natures, people will move. They will move to make things happen. The same should happen for mental health. That conversation, if somebody says, you know, I'm really depressed, we should treat it like, oh, heart disease, cancer. What do we need to do? Have you been to the doctor? What needs to happen? Do you need some support? The same way that we activate for all the other health issues, this is a health issue too. Mental health is in the same category as health and well-being because mind, body, and soul work together. So
that's right.
We can't separate them. We can't separate them, right? So since we can't separate them, we shouldn't separate ourselves from that conversation of mental health. It has to be something that we can talk about naturally.
You're absolutely correct. And I also think, you know, sometimes we get so caught up in what we see happen to other people. We say, well, I don't have that symptom. Or I'm not doing that, so that can't be me. Because I was diagnosing everybody I knew was depressed, like depressed on a regular basis. Don't be laughing, Nisha. I was like, okay, she act crazy, she do that, I ain't doing none of that. You know, so sometimes we trick ourselves into believing we're okay because we're trying to diagnose ourselves.
Right. Right, right, right. And you know the saying goes, if you point your finger, there's three fingers pointing back at you, right? So finger, oh, that person, they all have problems, but not me, you know. So it's true. We remove ourselves from having those problems that, yes, impact us. And so when I was speaking at a church recently, I talked about how 50% of individuals by mental health and mental illness.
Yes.
And so I said, I don't want to single anybody out, but I just want you to stand up. If you have been impacted yourself, had a mental illness, have a family member with a mental illness, somebody in your community that you know has a mental illness, go ahead and stand up. And so when I looked around, I will tell you, I want you to guess, how many people do you think were sitting down after I got finished with that?
About 10.
You 10, okay, I would get like 10%. You would think 100% of the people stood up in that.
Wow, place. I was 10 too little. You know, because we all do know somebody. You know, we all know
Absolutely.
Somebody that's been depressed.
Absolutely.
And depressed is a mental illness. We all,
Absolutely.
And then we all know somebody skits. I'm sorry. I think I'm at home. Schizophrenic. You know, or bipolar. You know, we all know that someone that has experienced that. And I think
Absolutely.
That, you know, what you talk about, you know, that room standing up, that was a big hello. You know, we got a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. It is a big hello. And I say, you guys, look around yourselves. You are not alone. There's so many people around you that have dealt with, who are dealing with some nature of mental health impact, mental illness impacting them, their lives. So with us standing in this room, 100% of us are standing up. 100% of us need to do something to move the conversation forward so it does not remain taboo and stigma. Because one of the things is, and I wanted to mention to you, because the way we have the conversation is so important. Like someone goes, he's a schizophrenic. He's depressed. He's
right.
So they put that tag on that person. But let's go back to the diseases I talked about earlier, like heart disease. Nobody points to somebody and go, their heart disease, their cancer, their diabetes. They don't say, that's not how they describe it. They say they have cancer. They have diabetes. They have heart disease.
That is so true.
Right. So same with mental health illness. They have a mental illness. They're not mentally ill. They have a mental illness. That person, that whole person is a human being. Right?
Yes.
So once we shift that part of our conversation to say that person is a human being that's put here on purpose, but they're struggling with a mental illness. How do we handle, how do we address, how do we support that individual? That's how we need to move this conversation.
Absolutely. And you know, now we're talking about it, but is it, you know, we talked about paying attention, but what are some of the signs that we need to pay attention to? Because you know, when it becomes, depression is tricky. Everybody doesn't have depression the same way, which I learned. So when we let's start with this depression and let's work our way down. Just so people can have an idea because maybe some things are going on and they don't know where it's coming from or what it,
right.
you know what it is, and being
right,
aware
right.
of signs is really helpful as well.
It's true. Being aware of signs is so important, and as you mentioned earlier, that everybody is a little different. So when you look at an individual, I always say mental health and mental illness, I'll say their mental illness begins to interfere with your ability to function on a daily basis. So that's one. When you're around someone, and so we won't go into specifics just yet, when you're around someone in your family, a friend, every day, and you start seeing something different in their ability to function on a daily basis, that's your first sign. They're not able to get to work on time. They're not able to come into events or talk to us or share with us. So that begins to interfere with their ability to function. And so as it interferes with one part of their lives, it starts interfering with other parts of their lives, for instance, over different arenas. So first it interferes with them going to work on time. Then you see them not going to places on time or places at all. You see them doing things a little differently, eating more than they normally ate, not eating as much as they ate. So now we're talking about symptoms. You start seeing a decrease in appetite or increase in appetite. You start to see them sleep less or sleep more. And so we're talking about depression. You think about bipolar. You see them being really excited all the time. Oh, they want to go run and do this and clean up the room and clean up the house and do all these new things. And then all of a sudden they're shutting down. They're all by themselves. They don't want to do anything. They're not motivated. You're looking at that change in behavior. That starts showing you, is something different going on with them. So you start noticing things like that when it comes to bipolar. When we're talking about anxiety, you start seeing them maybe shutting down and getting nervous or sweating or talking about, you know, my heart is racing, something. And these are new behaviors. This is when the onset. You're looking at these things that they've normally been able to do, but now they're getting nervous about it. And they're starting to sweat, and hands sweating, feet sweating, not wanting to eat, can't breathe. So you start seeing things like that when it comes to anxiety. When you're talking about the illnesses that are related to the psychotic behaviors and psychotic diagnoses, you're talking about somebody starting thinking differently, like, why is everybody looking at me all the time? Or they might start talking to themselves more, and they start being to themselves more. They're afraid of things more, like paranoid, like the world is after me. So some of those things you start to see happening with the individual, and it starts to interfere with their ability to function. So that's when you're paying attention as a person. Something different is going on, and it's interfering. That's when you're keying into something is going on. Something is awry. So those are important things to look at. When if somebody's pattern changes, you want to pay attention to it. And it doesn't have to necessarily always be related to mental health. It could be something going on physically with them that they're changing and their behaviors are changing. So according, when those things start to happen, you might want to go see a doctor. I always say start with your primary care physician. Start asking questions. A lot of people don't want to walk into the mental health door for the first time because the stigma is you're crazy. If you walk into mental health, you're crazy. That's what the stigma is. You are just crazy if you walk into mental health. But that, of course, we know that's not the correct case. Crazy is a negative connotation on mental health. So definitely start off with your primary care physician. Hey, doctor, if you're a parent, hey, doctor, something's different with my child. They're doing these different things that they've never done before, and it's interfering with their ability to go to school, maintain in school, at home. And then you go out and seek some help from your primary care physician. And they'll give you some direction as to what you should do next.
Absolutely.
Or your own as an adult. Uh-huh.
Yeah, those are some good points because I think we shy away from going to the doctor. I don't know.
Yes.
It seems like to be a black thing not to go to the doctor, you know. Or especially
right.
counseling.
Yes.
We're like, oh, no, we ain't telling nobody our business. And
I think
that type of mind, we cheat ourselves out of a healthy lifestyle because
right,
we can't always help ourselves.
Absolutely. It's so true. And our issue, however, for African-American community is that we are afraid of systems. We're of our history, and our history impacts how we function today. Even though 200 years, you know, has passed And we're still dealing with the trauma of the past. As somebody said, we're only 40, 50 years past when we got the 60s, when we had to deal with
right.
segregation. We're only shortly past that. So we haven't overcome that yet. We don't trust systems. So because of that, I don't want to go to the doctor. I don't want them to tell me nothing crazy. Something ain't nothing wrong with me anyway. They're just wanting to take my money. So all these things impact us getting services, whereas it's important for us to go early on because we can prevent some things from getting worse than they need to be. So prevention and early intervention is always so important.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, we talked a lot about mental illness, and I just want the audience to know that, you know, it's important that we do these, you know, steps, that we take the steps to make sure
yes.
that we are healthy, as she stated before, mind, body, and soul. I say spirit, whatever works for you.
Yes.
But make
sure
all of us working in, you know, in harmony. We're working together. And it's really
absolutely.
Important because if one is off, we're off. We're off balance.
We're off balance.
And
so correct.
We got to, like she said, rethink how we view these types of assistance and help because it really matters. And we have a lot of people in our community walking around sick. They're not crazy.
Yes.
They're sick.
Right.
And
right.
And
yeah.
not getting the
mm-hmm.
help and the attention that they need. So we got to really rethink mental illness and rethink how we view mental illness. And I'm glad that you also work with the babies because, you know, sometimes it's hard to change adults' minds. You know, sometimes people set in their ways and
yes.
they don't do them. But
yes.
if you can catch the young ones early and teach
yes.
them and re-educate them on mental
yes.
illness, I think that's a blessing. So I want to talk a little bit about your book as well because I don't want us to – because we can talk about mental illness forever because that's one of my favorite subjects as well.
Yes.
But let's talk
yes.
about your
yes.
book because – your book is actually, I consider it to be like, I got a problem, but hello, here's your tool to get out of it. So I think your
yes.
book is a tool, you know, and I
yes.
and I know you use it for the young people as well. So let's talk about how this book has helped you as far as blessing the young people and rethinking
mm-hmm.
who they are
mm-hmm.
and reaching their destiny. And I'm sure you helped some that have mental illness as well. So let's talk about your book.
Absolutely. So my book is called Intentionally Made. It's the beginning of being a more confident you. And it was a prayer. My mother was encouraging me, Nisha, write a book. I've been writing all my life. So she said, Nisha, write a book. And I said, okay. Well, I just didn't want to sit down and just write any old book. I wanted to write a
right.
book that spoke to that one individual that needed it, whether they be an adult or a child, the one individual that needed to help get them to their purpose or help build their confidence, I should say. So I have relied on my confidence all my life. Not saying that I am never insecure, but confidence gets me from one place to the next. Don't not worried about nobody else, focusing on the skills and abilities that God gave me naturally and building on those skills and abilities and then going forth to do what I want to do or conquer what I want to conquer. So I said, I could teach that. I could teach that all day because that's how I live my life. So that's how I started writing the book, helping people first to know that they're on purpose. Because if you don't know who you are, you don't know what you're worth, right?
Mm.
So I'm going to say that again. When you don't know who you are, you don't know what you're worth. So
yes.
you let people treat you any kind of way and you do any kind of thing when you don't know your own value. So my book is focused on telling you you're intentionally made. You're here for a reason. You were designed on purpose. And so that being the foundation, the groundwork to you building your confidence. And so throughout my book, I talk about how we were all created. And so I talk about God having a blueprint just in front of him, designing me. He took his time to design me. And so since God took his time to design me, he did that so that I could fulfill a purpose. And so when I'm talking to youth, I say, have you ever created anything? Have you ever made anything, a project? And, of course, all hands go up. And so I say, okay, wonderful. So when you started to create your project, how many of you guys wanted to fail? And they look at me like, don't nobody want to fail, Miss Nisha. What you talking
right?
about? Right?
Like you're crazy.
I said, no, right, you're crazy. And I said, no, seriously, how many of you wanted an F on your project? And no, we don't want an F. I said, well, what grade did you want to get? Well, of course we want to get an A. I said, exactly. What you created, you wanted to get an A on it, and you wanted to make sure it fulfilled that purpose. So you put everything in it that you could to make sure you got it. You got an A. I said, so God did the same for us. When he created us, he wanted to put all the stuff in us. So he put all the seeds of greatness in us so that we could get an A in this life, so that we could fulfill this purpose in life. He didn't willy-nilly design us. He specifically designed us on purpose for a goal. And I said, so when you first know that, then you know that you're here for a reason, and then you start to build your value and your worth and your confidence.
So, I love that. In the book, I love that.
Yes. Yes.
So, I love the way you use God, because a lot of times, you know, when things go bad in our life, a lot of people think God has forsaken them, or they're not as good as other people, or, you know, they don't have no gifts and don't have no skills. And I always tell everybody has a gift. Everybody
yes.
has a gift. You just don't know what your gift is yet.
Yes.
And I
yes.
believe that. And your book is awesome, because it's letting them know, babe, you was created with a purpose. You just got to find that
yes.
purpose.
You got to find it. And so I do some in chapter 10 is my last chapter. I really describe a way you can start discovering your purpose. So I tell people, I can't tell you what your purpose is. It's a discovery process for you. But I do talk about in the book, like you said, people say, oh, God's forsaken me. This horrible thing is going on in my life. And, oh, nobody cares about me. So I talk about distractions in 3 chapters of my book. And the reason why I talk about distractions is because people feel like this is the end. This is the end of my life. This is the end of the road. I'm
yes.
going through this drama.
Oh, yes.
I'm never going to get it to my purpose. But it's a distraction that we have to acknowledge. Call it out like, oh, you're trying to distract me, thing. Whatever that thing is, you're trying to distract me. Once you call it out and call it what it is, then you can address it. It's when we ignore it, like, oh, no, it's nothing wrong with me, or no, this problem isn't a true problem. No, we need to call it out and address it, because it's a distraction, and it will distract you from your purpose. But you have to realize distractions and troubles and trauma in your life are all things that build who you are. It builds your character. But if you let it stop you and stifle you, then it can destroy your character and destroy you from getting to your purpose. So once we know that distractions are going to come our way, we can look at it and go, oh, I've been waiting for you, distraction. I knew you were going to come. I might be sad.
Uh-oh.
I might be mad. I might be frustrated. But I'm going to face you head on, distraction, because I knew you were coming. So then we're prepared for it. Not prepared where, oh, I can immediately stop you. No, I'm prepared because I know that I have to go through this process. And every day I have to get up and pick myself up and say, I have to go through this again until I resolve this part, this conflict in my life that's building my character.
You know, that is so powerful. And I mean, that just blessed me. So, you know, because sometimes we, you know, a lot of people, they stay in the back a lot. They don't ever want to go up and be in the front. I'm good helping. I don't need to be in the spotlight, or I don't need to be recognized. I just like helping people. And that's a way of hiding.
In some cases, it is. In some cases, it is. When somebody isn't using their skill set to do what they're supposed to do, then yes, it is. I do believe, though, that some people are helpers, and they help and assist along the way. And so I always say the saying, if you're going to be a paperclip collector, be the best paperclip collector you're going to be. Right? Do it in excellence, no matter what it is. So I know that some people shy away from the limelight. They have their spot on this earth, and sometimes it won't have that spotlight on it because they are there. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to do this piece. And they serve well. And I say the spotlight comes from God. He will, if you are fulfilling your purpose like a paperclip collector and you're doing it with the best of your ability, God will move and shift you in the direction that you're supposed to go.
That is a fact. That is such a fact.
Absolutely.
Because if you're supposed to move to a certain direction, even if it's moving from the basic paperclip collector, as you call it, to another level of that.
Yes.
So
yes.
You learn. And I always say take every opportunity as a lesson. Learn from every opportunity. Even if you are in the background or wherever you are, make sure you make that work to the best of your ability and be good at it. Like you said, it is important to be good at what you do. But we have we've talked 45 minutes, girl. But because this is an important subject, so I'm going to have you back on because I really want to talk about it a little more lengthily. But we have like 1 minute.
Okay.
Yes, we got 90 seconds. So if you had one positive thing to say to the group audience before you go, what would that be?
So I just want you to repeat after me because this is my purpose in life. Say, I was born.
I'm born.
To be great.
To be great.
That's it. So we're going to say it again because I want your audience to be able to say it with us, and we're going to say it together with passion. And once we know that, that's going to change the course of our lives. So, again, say, I was born.
I'm born to be great.
To be great. Yes.
Well, I'd like to thank everybody for joining us. And until next week, we thank you, Nisha, for coming. And until next week, remember, you are great. Peace and blessings. And thank you.
Love you much. Thank you.
Love
you
more. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.